This is the Healthy Living Podcast on OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. OWL Radio broadcasts to homes in San Antonio, the Hill Country, in San Antonio Methodist Hospitals, and via online streaming and smartphone access. Welcome. I am Martha Attee. This program is being recorded on January 21st, 2024. The topics today are 10 ways to support your mental health in 2024, depression rooms and doom piles, why clearing clutter can feel impossible. Don't underestimate the power of a compliment. And if there is time left over, I'll find another article to add to this list. The first article is 10 Ways to Support Your Mental Health in 2024 by Christina Caron and Dana G. Smith for the Well newsletter from the New York Times. This was in the New York Times on the first week of January 2024. Since the height of the pandemic, there has been a cultural shift in the way we talked about mental health. It's as though the years of isolation and uncertainty helped us understand how vital our emotional needs were to our overall well-being. Now that we're paying more attention to our inner lives, it's also essential that we take action. Fortunately, there are a number of things that everyone can do to nourish their mental health and find moments of joy. Here are some of our favorite tips from the past year as we prepare for the rest of 2024. Number one, try a proven way to sleep better. Experts say that getting enough sleep is one of the most important things we can do for our mental health. If you're having trouble falling or staying asleep, studies have found that cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia, or CBTI, is as effective as using sleep medication in the short term and more effective in the long term. Cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia helps people address anxieties about sleep and find ways to relax. To find a provider, try the Society of Behavioral Sleep Medicine directory. Number two, learn how to tell whether your anxiety is protective or problematic. It's normal to feel anxious from time to time. In fact, having some anxiety can actually be useful. Experts say an internal alarm system can improve our performance, help us recognize danger, and even encourage us to be more conscientious. So we asked Dr. Petros Levonis, the president of the American Psychiatric Association, how much anxiety is too much? He said, quote, if you start to notice that worry and fear are constantly there, that is a signal that you need some help. Other signs to look out for include restlessness, a sense of fear or doom, increased heart rate, sweating, trembling, and trouble concentrating. Number three, stop the worry cycle. If you have a tendency to ruminate, there are a few simple ways to curb that habit. The first is to distract yourself. Research shows that diversions can help your mind get your mind off whatever is stressing you out. Try playing a word game or try listening to music, paying close attention to the lyrics. Other times, it's better not to fight the urge, but that doesn't mean you should let your thoughts spiral out of control. Set a timer for 10 to 30 minutes of dedicated rumination time and give yourself permission to mentally mull things over. When the timer goes off, it's time to move on. Number 4. Practice, quote, 5 things tidying. When you're struggling with your mental health, basic tasks like washing dishes or doing laundry can feel impossible. But living amid mess can make you feel even worse. Casey Davis is a licensed professional counselor and author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning. She advises focusing on function over aesthetics. Your home doesn't have to be perfect, but it should be livable. An efficient way to keep things from getting out of hand is to practice what she calls, quote, 5 things tidying. Tackle the 5 main categories of clutter: trash, dishes, laundry, things with a place, and things without a place. One at a time, tackle them to help cleaning feel more manageable. Number 5. Embrace gratitude. Gratitude is a positive emotion that can arise when you acknowledge that you have goodness in your life and that other people, or higher powers if you believe in them, have helped you achieve goodness. To really reap the benefits of gratitude, experts say it's important to express it whenever possible. That might include writing letters of thanks or listing the positive things in your life in your journal. Giving thanks to friends, romantic partners, and even coworkers can also offer a relationship boost. Number 6. Be optimistic about aging. Research shows that mindset really matters when it comes to health, and it can even extend your life. A classic study found that people who were optimistic about aging lived 7.5 years longer than those who had negative perceptions of it. To adopt a more positive outlook about getting older, shift your focus to the benefits of aging, like better emotional well-being and higher emotional intelligence. Look for aging role models, too. Other people who stay physically active and engaged in their communities, and those with traits that you admire. Number 7. Participate in the arts. The notion that art can improve mental well-being is something many people intuitively understand but don't necessarily put into practice. You don't need talent to give it a try, say the experts. Writing a poem, singing, or drawing can all help elevate your mood no matter how creative you consider yourself to be. One of the easiest ways to get started is to color something intricate. Spending 20 minutes coloring a mandala, which is a complex geometric design, is more helpful for reducing anxiety than free-form coloring for the same length of time, research has found. Number 8. Look for a little bit of awe every day. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves to connect with the physical world around us. Enter the awe walk. Pick a walking spot, either new or familiar, and imagine that you're seeing it for the first time. Then pay attention to your senses. Feel the wind on your face. Touch the petals of a flower. Simply notice the sky. It can be more restorative than you might expect. Number 9. Take a tech break. If you're having trouble focusing, it is not just you. Research has found that over the past two decades, the amount of time we spend on a given task has shrunk to an average of just 47 seconds. This is down from 2.5 minutes. Technology is often to blame. To regain control of your concentration, Larry Rosen, a professor emeritus of psychology at California State University in Dominguez Hills, suggests a strategy he calls, quote, tech breaks. Set a timer for 15 minutes. Then, put your phone on silence and set it aside. When time is up, take 1 or 2 minutes to check your favorite apps. That's your tech break. And then get back to work for another 15-minute cycle. The goal is to gradually increase the time between your tech breaks, building up to 45 minutes or more that you are away from your phone. Number 10, take a deep breath. One of the fastest, easiest ways you can calm your mind and body is by taking slow, deep breaths. Doing so helps to turn up your parasympathetic nervous system, the counterbalance to the fight-or-flight stress response, and lower your blood pressure and regulate your heart rate. One breathing exercise that can be particularly helpful for mitigating fear and anxiety is the 4-4-8 breathing, where you inhale for 4 counts, hold your breath for 4 counts, and then exhale for 8 counts. We've listed the 10 ways to support your mental health in 2024, and I'm going to reach back and look at number 4 that says, practice 5 things tidying. That idea comes from the article titled Depression Rooms and Doom Piles, Why Clearing the Clutter Can Feel Impossible. This was written a year ago on January 10th in 2023, and it was from also the Well newsletter from the New York Times. A camera pans around Abigail Millett's room. The floor is mostly invisible, hidden by piles of clothes. 4 large plastic baskets are stacked on top of each other, some filled with laundry, others with electronics. There are 8 abandoned cups of coffee on the desk and bedside table. On the floor lie 2.5 empty water bottles. Also, a novelty bottle of tequila with a glass cactus inside, and a pet food dispenser. Abigail Millett is in her bedroom, and she is speaking into her cell phone. She is a YouTube star who posts videos as Abby Lucia. She tells the camera, "Today we're going to be cleaning my depression room. I fear that the only way that I will make myself clean this room is if I film it." The term depression room is relatively new, popularized by videos on YouTube and TikTok that have accrued hundreds and millions of views. But experts have long recognized the link between messiness and mental health. The clutter that can accumulate when people are experiencing a mental health crisis is neither a form of hoarding, nor is it the result of laziness. The culprit is extreme fatigue, said Brad Schmidt, a distinguished research professor of psychology at Florida State University. People are oftentimes just so mentally and physically exhausted that they don't feel like they have the energy to take care of themselves or their surroundings, says Dr. Smith. They just don't have the capacity to engage with house cleaning and upkeep that they probably once did. A missing home can also contribute to feelings of overwhelm, stress, and shame, making you feel worse than you already do. And while decluttering will not cure your depression, it can give you a mood boost. If you are struggling and it feels impossible to keep your surroundings tidy, here are a few tips on how to clean strategically to optimize your energy and your space. Focus on function, not aesthetics. For Casey Davis, who is a licensed professional counselor and the author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, her clutter problem ballooned when her second child was born in early 2020. Quote, I've always been a messy person, she said, but it's always been functional. Suddenly, faced with a new baby, postpartum depression, and all this during the pandemic, Ms. Davis realized that without any systems in place, she was in over her head. While she worked to declutter her home, Ms. Davis started posting videos of her progress on TikTok, where she now has 1.5 million followers. Turned off by much of the self-help and cleaning content that has what she called, quote, boot camp messaging, she opted for a gentler, more pragmatic approach. Her systems are realistic about her capabilities and focus on having a livable space, not a spotless one. One of her most popular strategies is, quote, five things tidying. The idea that there are only five things in my room, trash, dishes, laundry, then things that have a place and things without a place, focusing on one category at a time keeps her from getting overwhelmed when it seems like there are 100 different items that need to be put away. Ms. Davis is also a big advocate for what she calls, quote, closing duties, inspired by her time working as a waitress. She often doesn't have the energy to clean her whole kitchen every evening, so she started doing just a few small tasks. Quote, as a kindness to the future me to set myself up for success in the morning, unquote. She continues, I came away from this idea that it had to be all or nothing and just started thinking about function when it came to cleaning. When I think about what do I need in the morning, all of a sudden I can be specific. She makes sure she has enough clean dishes and counter space so that she can make breakfast, empties the trash, and sweeps away any crumbs. She says, what feels like this big unending task is actually just 20 minutes of my day. For people who are really struggling, Ms. Davis emphasized that things can be unsightly, but you shouldn't be unsanitary because everyone deserves to be clean and comfortable. If you don't have the energy to wash all your dishes, clean just one or two for your next meal, or use paper plates. If laundry involves too many steps, don't worry about the folding. Wrinkles never hurt anybody. People who are neurodivergent with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or autism, or other executive functioning issues also struggle with excess clutter. Like depression rooms, the term doom piles has become popular on social media to describe the random stuff that builds up and you don't know what to do with it. Nearly everybody has a junk drawer or two in their home, But these piles of clutter tend to be more ubiquitous for people who struggle with executive functioning. Lenore Brooks is an interior designer who specializes in working with people who are neurodivergent. When her sister, who has ADHD, lived with her for a brief time, Ms. Brooks discovered that there were lots of resources to help children with ADHD or autism stay organized, but virtually none targeted for adults. Much of Ms. Brooks' work revolves around helping her clients deal with seemingly endless clutter. They feel like they're constantly cleaning, but the clutter is always there. People with ADHD especially struggle with this because, she said, it's almost like decision fatigue all the time. I can't decide what to do with it, so I'm just not going to do anything with it. The first step, Ms. Brooks said, is to really pay attention to the items that you're frequently cleaning up. Then find better places for them to live. What I talk to my clients about a lot is systems. Figuring out why things are where they are, why clutter is building up where it is, and then changing the design or the organization of how people are actually using their home. These changes can be simple. For instance, if you find yourself constantly removing pens from your living room couch cushions and coffee table, think about designating a spot to keep the pens in the room where you're actually using them. For a client whose home office was always filled with dirty dishes, Miss Brooks got her a tray that she could load her tea and snack paraphernalia onto and then return to the kitchen at the end of every day. So the best is stop the problem before it starts. Once your space is cleanish and relatively decluttered, try to take a few minutes each day to keep it that way. Ms. Davis recommended setting a timer for 5 or 10 minutes and getting as much taken care of as you can during that time. She said, I tell myself I don't have to finish this task, but I'm going to get up for 8 minutes and do it. I'm usually surprised at how much I can get done. And remember, it's normal to have some clutter in your home. The TV remote, your eyeglasses, mail you need to start looking at, an art project you're working on. They are signs of life in your home, Ms. Brooks said. And we're coming to the last article on the Healthy Living Podcast, titled, Don't Underestimate the Power of a Compliment. Offering praise benefits everyone, experts say. Here's how to do it like a pro. This article is from November 3rd, 2023, from the New York Times, written by Janice Dunn, and it was updated on this year on January 15th. A stranger gave me a compliment 10 years ago that I'll never forget. I was at a dinner in Brooklyn with my then 3-year-old and a few of her friends. I was making them laugh by acting silly, inserting 2 French fries under my upper lip so I looked like a walrus, for example. After lunch, a woman came up to me and said she had enjoyed my show. She said she was recently widowed. She said it felt so good to laugh. Offering a compliment has been shown to benefit both the giver and receiver, but we often hold back because we're worried about how we'll come off, said Erica Boothby, a social psychologist at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, who has studied the positive effects of compliments. Many of us, Dr. Boothby said, grapple with questions like, will I make the other person feel awkward? Will the compliment seem fake or pandering? The reality is these messages are usually much more welcome than we expect, she said. And we are overly and unnecessarily pessimistic. I want to help us all feel more confident delivering praise, so I asked Dr. Boothby and other experts for suggestions. One of them, Milo McCabe, gave me a compliment lesson outside the New York Public Library's flagship location last week. He is a British comedian who plays a mid-century matinee idol character named Troy Hawk in viral videos. Donning a smoking jacket and pencil mustache, McCabe is well known for complimenting athletes at sporting events, such as, "You have the poise of an apex predator, but the eyes of a kindly woodland creature." He once told this to the Manchester City soccer player Nathan Ake. Complimenting a stranger, keep it brief, sincere, and positive. First, size up people's body language to see if they seem open to being approached, said McCabe, who arrived for our lesson in character. Then, he added, look for appealing quirks. If someone has clearly made an effort to dress up, for example, this should be noted immediately. McCabe once told an older man, quote, "I adore that pastel blue blazer, and with purple socks, stunning and confident." The older man's face just lit up. McCabe told a woman that she had admirable posture, saying, quote, "You clearly do the Alexander technique all day," he said. She smiled and straightened up even more. Keep it upbeat, keep it short, and keep moving so people are reassured that you don't have an agenda, McCabe said. And be sincere, even with strangers, Dr. Boothby said. You shouldn't go around giving empty compliments you don't genuinely feel. If you're complimenting someone you know, try to make it distinctive, said Barbara Fredrickson, the director of Positive Emotions Laboratory at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and the author of Love 2.0. Instead of saying that you like the person's laugh, say how it makes you feel, such as, "Hearing you laugh makes me want to laugh too." Or if you're complimenting something someone has done, explain why you admire it. Instead of just saying, "Oh, what a great dinner you made," you could say, "You're always so good at finding a new recipe and being creative." Personalizing your compliment with context makes the person feel more valued. It doesn't need to be a lavish compliment either. For instance, my husband told me, "You changed the coffee filter like a champion." And don't second guess yourself. If you have a positive thought about someone, consider sharing it. Even better, look for opportunities to slip a compliment into your conversations. McCabe said most people are in the grip of their inner critic, but if you can give someone a good compliment that you mean, you kind of give their inner critic a right hook. Thank you for listening to the Healthy Living Podcast for January 21, 2024. This program will be replayed at 9 p.m. this evening. This is Martha Atee. Thank you for listening, and goodbye from Owl Radio.